Log Talk Radio.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for waking up this morning and listening to the show. We have a really interesting show this morning. I'm a bit of a nerd. Some of you may not realize that, but I used to teach computer software for several years. And even since I was a kid, I was really into computers. And my daughter, since she's been born, we've had computers in our house. And I read an article in Fast Company magazine about World Community Grid, and I was like, now let me read a little more about that. Also, they're helping people try to solve cures or develop cures for different illnesses, and you know I do a lot of shows on different health issues, from lupus, multiple sclerosis, prostate cancer, sarcoidosis, all types of things. So I'm very interested in anything that's going to get us closer to a cure for any of these diseases. This morning, I have some wonderful guests. The first guest, Robin Wilner. She's IBM's Vice President of Global Community Initiatives, and she designs and implements programs that use technology in novel ways to address long-standing social issues in communities where IBMers live and work. She manages IBM's sponsorship of the World Community Grid, and their web address, if you want to check them out, is worldcommunitygrid.org. Again, worldcommunitygrid.org. Thank you so much, Robin, for joining this morning.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
I think it's a wonderful situation. How did you connect with David and the software to allow people all over the globe to connect? How did you connect? Did he apply for a grant?
Well, no, actually, we had done a small project about 7 years ago to try to establish this kind of a grid, a public grid where people all over the globe could contribute the idle cycle time, the extra cycle time they had on their laptops, on their PCs. And we did a small project, actually not at that point with David, and we realized the incredible power and the potential here. So we did our research, just like you did online, and that's when we found Boink. And we found David Anderson, professor at Berkeley, who had created this incredible software that's also open source. That means it's free, it's available, and everybody can contribute. And we said, David, you have this great software. We have IBM's hosting and security and marketing and, you know, big name recognition.
Right,
let's
right.
get together. We could do something really terrific.
Well, it looks like on your website you have more than a million computers connected together. I was looking through the statistics.
Well, more than a million and a half, Joy.
A million and a half. Yes, yes, correct. So now, you know, people, it sounds like a great idea. You're trying to basically, the reason that you need all these computers is because one computer or even a really large computer cannot make all these calculations that are needed for the scientists. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
So the question, though, will become, I'm going to allow you to put some software on my computer. What about hacking? I mean, talk to me about the security of this program and the protection of people who do want to join and help.
That's a really good question because, you know, we have all learned don't download anything unless you know where it comes from. Protect your hard drive. And everybody is really smart to be careful. So we're glad that you are. In this case, it's a very small piece of software, and it's purposely pretty dumb. And we do
purposely
that on purpose.
Pretty dumb?
It's pretty dumb, that's right.
Okay.
It's a stupid piece of software. It only knows how to do one thing. And we do that
okay.
on purpose because we don't want it to be smart enough for any hackers to contact it. So we do that on purpose. We have a very limited, small piece of software that's very secure, and it knows how to do two things. It knows when you're using your keyboard,
and
it knows how to run its assignment. Think of it as a homework assignment. So we have an algorithm that we need to run, and as you said, we need to run it a million, a gabillion, zillions of times in order to really do this research that's possible now with all the breakthroughs in science. So we need enormous amount of power. We divide it up across 1.5 million devices, and everybody does a little piece, runs the algorithm. And then when it's finished, the next time you go online, the only thing that this software does is it sends the results back to the host, back to the home ship, and gets a new assignment. And we do a lot of things to keep it secure. I mean, we tell all IBMers to join, and we have a lot of things that we want to keep secure on the IBM network. But we are constantly doing security checks, and we've designed it with every possible way of keeping it secure.
So now some of the projects that you're working on look like they're completed, defeating cancer, working on muscular dystrophy, Rice for the World. Talk to me about Rice for the World. What, do you know about that project and what that entailed, what they were trying to do with that?
Sure. This is one of a great project from the University of Washington, and we also worked with the Rice Research Institute, which is actually in Philippines. So it was a very global project. To do this research on rice, and what we want to do is find the new types of rice that are the most resistant to weather and heat and are the most nutritious. And, you know, for centuries, ever since people began farming, farmers have tried to find better and better strains of rice or wheat or tomatoes, you know, whatever they're growing.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're constantly looking for new hybrids, right? Well, we don't want to wait 1 million years and lots of generations to find the most nutritious, most weather-resistant rice. So what we did instead was we simulated it on everybody's computers until we could find really good information. And now we've finished all of the online analysis, and the researchers in the Philippines and in Seattle, Washington, are now putting that together and doing some analysis, and we hope very soon to have some actual specific advice for farmers about the next hybrid strains of rice.
Well, that's a wonderful, I mean, people, like you said, they can't wait 1 million years to get better food. We need it right now, and our populations all over the globe are growing just constantly, and the fear is that we're not going to have enough resources in terms of food to feed all these people. Now, you're also working on clean energy. I love this. It says the mission of the Clean Energy Project is to find new materials for the next generation of solar cells and later energy storage devices. So now, how does someone submit a proposal? Say I'm a scientist, and I think that, you know, I have a project that demands, you know, large computer power. I can submit a proposal to World Community Grid, correct?
That's right, and thank you for mentioning that, Joy, because we're always looking for new research. Just go to www.worldcommunitygrid.org. If you want to join, it's right there on the home page. And if you're a scientist, you can just go to that same website and follow the links to submit your proposal. And all the information you need is online. And we've gotten some of our best proposals are people who just found us on the web. And they just, you know, submitted, and we said, wow, that would be a great thing to do. Let's follow up.
Now, do you do anything with, like, weather, geology, or is it only just health issues? What else do you try? What else are you trying to solve or cure?
Our category is humanitarian research. So what we're basically looking for are projects that will benefit the human race, make our lives better, that are good science, you know, that we can, you know, we review the proposals, obviously, and make sure that they make sense and that they're going to lead to something, and that are not right now getting the support they need from the marketplace. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, something like, for example, dengue fever. You may be scratching your head. What's dengue fever?
I saw that on the website, yes.
Well, you know, dengue fever used to be a disease that nobody got in the U.S. or Europe. You only got it if you lived in India or somewhere on the equator. So there are absolutely no treatments and no cures for dengue fever because it only happens in the tropics.
Wow. Well,
but people die there, and it's really
horrible. Yeah, people die there. Yeah.
That's right. So we said, well, wait, this is an important issue, and just because the market's not interested, we're interested. So we're working with some folks at the University of Texas Medical School to, again, learn everything we can about dengue fever and help to find the right treatment. And guess what? This year, people have now begun to get dengue fever in the Florida Keys.
Wow.
So global warming means that the tropics are moving. And there are lots
That's
of
amazing.
Places that have – so people are going to start paying attention to this. But we are, you know, now ahead of the curve a little bit, just a little bit, and we're hoping that we will have some really helpful information so that they can start to develop new treatments and cures for this really tragic disease.
Let me just mention the website again. It's worldcommunitygrid.org. And this morning I'm speaking with Robin Wilner. She's IBM's Vice President of Global Community Initiatives. If you're listening to the show and you have a question, you can call in at 646-929-0368 and press the number 1 key on your phone pad. Now, also, if you decide to join World Community Grid, they have a My Grid section, I see. And I guess it gives you statistics about what your computer is doing. Is that correct, Robin?
That's right. You can watch exactly what projects you're working on and when you finish and how many points you've done. And you can choose. You know, we run several research projects at the same time. And you can choose which ones you want to donate your spare cycles to, you know, to further that research. So I just do random. That's what I do on my laptop. So whatever
okay.
the next project is, it comes on. And I like to do that because then I see all the different screensavers, and they're all really beautiful. But
now another question people might have is we're trying to save energy. We're talking about unplugging our cell phone adapters, making sure our lights are off, don't leave the air conditioning on, you know, make sure that it's energy saver. My computer's on. I'm using energy. I mean, how much energy is my computer using while running this program?
Thank you for raising that, Joy. It's so important. We are not asking anyone or ever suggesting that you change your habits and leave your laptop or your computer on extra hours. You don't need to do that. Our laptops and computers are so powerful these days. You know, every time they invent a new one, it's got more power and it's got more potential in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the power that we can harvest just while you have it on anyway, when you stop to take a phone call, when you stop to listen to the radio show, if you walk away to get another cup of iced coffee, we can get an enormous amount of power. So there's no reason to leave it on any extra. There's no reason to change your routine or your habits. But just while it's on anyway, we can get extra benefit from that laptop.
Wow, that's amazing. Because that was a concern. I was like, well, my computer, I'm not home. I'm at work all day long. It's on for 9-10 hours. You know, that's using energy. I thought we were supposed to be not using so much energy, you know, to save the planet. So I'm glad that that's a good response. We can just keep it our normal activity. And like you said, when you go use the phone or you pause and do something, a calculation can be running. Now, one of the things I noticed is that some of the research is at phase two. What does that mean, phase two? Is that you're getting closer to not needing the computers, and like you said, the researchers are doing more manual labor with it?
Well, for example, we have a wonderful project that we do with the Scripps Research Institute in California to find the next generation of AIDS drugs. You know, probably most of your listeners know this, that one of the things that makes the HIV virus so dangerous is that it mutates really quickly. So you have to stay ahead of it and have the next, you know, well, when it changes, will we have drugs that will work when it changes? So they began by doing phase one of the research was to look at one huge data set of proteins to see if they could learn anything from those proteins about what might stop the growth of the HIV virus. And that was about 270,000 proteins. We finished that, and we got some good direction on an opportunity to move in. And the second phase, then, is to look at yet another data set, more hundreds of thousands of proteins, but these have been selected based on the information that we got in the first round. And so, you know, but we got a big breakthrough with an opportunity of a certain way of attacking the virus that's not being used right now. And we're hoping that very soon there will be laboratory trials and really, you know, lead to some medicine in the next, you know, in the near future.
How many years have you been working on that particular project, do you know?
That project was the second one we launched, so it's been about 4 years. But they've, you know, this is hard work. There's not a magic bullet. I wish I could tell you that, you know, we found the one big answer. It's hard work. But the good news is that because we have everybody's help and, you know, these 1.5 million devices, we are doing work that would otherwise take 100 years. In other words, we're doing work that nobody would even bother trying if they didn't have access to this virtual supercomputer.
Now, you're also working with so many partners around the globe. I was just looking at Hands on Orlando, people in Czechoslovakia, China, like all over the globe. So IBM may be sponsored, but there's so many other organizations and companies that are supporting this. So, again, check out worldcommunitygrid.org. Now, one of the big things, you talked about AIDS, but also there's multiple sclerosis. Has anybody submitted anything, you know, for multiple sclerosis? Because there's a lot of money going into it, but you know, there's not a cure yet, and they need help with trying to find a cure.
We would love to. We would love to help provide some, you know, research on that area. We're doing, you know, there's, you know, as I said, it's very easy. Just go to the website worldcommunitygrid.org, and researchers can submit a proposal. People from not-for-profit organizations that are working with other researchers can submit a proposal, and we're always expanding, you know, our list of research projects. So very eager to do that, and hope your listeners will introduce us to some new people.
Now, what other initiatives are you working on for IBM?
Well, World Community Grid is obviously a terrific project, but it's not the only thing that we're doing.
Yes.
We are in our have a number of projects that have to do with volunteering. We have IBMers who volunteer all over the globe, and we actually just a couple of weeks ago announced that we had passed the 10 million hour mark. IBMers had volunteered for more than 10 million hours in just a couple of years, so that was pretty exciting. And they
Wow.
do everything from, you know, visit schools to work with young children and seniors and cleanup days, and they're just marvelous, our IBMers, when they get out there and start working on those kinds of projects. We also do a lot of projects with the schools. We have a program called Reading Companion that uses voice recognition technology to help children learn how to read English and to practice. And we use it in kindergartens around the United States, but also in schools all over the world where people are learning to read English for the first time. And that's a very, very fun project.
Now, how would somebody become a volunteer? Can they go to the IBM website? Is there a link to become a volunteer? Like, for example, I noticed you work with natural disasters and Hurricane Katrina and things of that nature in Haiti and all. How would somebody connect with IBM and to be a volunteer and say, you know, I maybe have, you know, 25 computers or people with laptops, they want to come and help out?
Uh-huh. Well, right now our volunteering is really we mobilize our IBM employees. And
okay.
You know, we have 400,000 of them, so that's a pretty big job, taking care of the IBMers.
Okay.
But also we are always looking for partners. So if you go to IBM, if you go to IBM.com/corporate-responsibility, you can see something about our other projects. And if you have a project that you think we might be interested in, or if you have a school that would be interested in some of our education programs, we'd love to hear from you.
I'm on your website right now, IBM, and I noticed that you're doing some arts and culture sponsorship, working with the Smithsonian, virtual opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. So that's wonderful. Also, you worked with the Palace Museum, which announced the Forbidden City Beyond Space and Time. And so you're doing a lot of wonderful things over there at IBM. I think that's great. Again, today I'm talking with Robin Wilner. She's IBM's Vice President of Global Community Initiatives, and we're talking about World Community Grid. You can use your small little computer to help maybe solve cancer, maybe solve AIDS, maybe help with muscular dystrophy, maybe help with lupus, so many things to help with the environment and energy. They're very secure. They're constantly, as Robin mentioned, doing security checks. You can find out exactly what type of work your computer is doing, see who else is working on there. You can, if you're a scientist, you can submit a proposal to World Community Grid to try to get computer support for your initiative that you may be working on. So please check out worldcommunitygrid.org. Now, Robin, is there any, do you give people computers in terms of, like you said, you're helping with schools and learning education? Do you do any donations to schools that need computers for their students here in the United States?
We do donations, but they're mostly, they're of our software, like the reading software that I was talking about, and a program that we have for early childhood. You know, IBM doesn't make personal computers anymore. We're out of that business. So, you know, a lot of people think of IBM and they think of the ThinkPad, but, you know, the world changes, and we're now really a software and a services company, but we bring those to schools. So we do have our Reading Companion project, which focuses on this great software to help children practice reading. We have an early childhood program called KidSmart, and we have a great program for older children on science called TryScience.org, where you can go online and just find dozens and dozens and dozens of really interesting hands-on science projects. So we're really trying to take the services and the software that IBM delivers today and put those front and center.
I'm going to put that link on there. I just went to tryscience.org, and it looks really cool. It's fun, lots of cool colors. But, you know, teachers are constantly begging for more resources, so any way that they can somehow connect with the kids. And all the kids doing nowadays are, you know, chatting and tweeting, and they're on Facebook. I have unlimited text messaging because they don't talk anymore. They text. So if you're out there and you're listening, please check out some of these websites, World Community Grid.org, also Try Science. I'm going to put that on my blog talk radio site, so if somebody's interested, they have lots of information here for teachers and students, for parents, to help them with science projects and different science about the planet, about animals, all types of things on here, so please check that out. And what's the website they can go on, IBM, for the reading software, to get software donations? Is there a particular link?
You know, if we go to Reading Companion, one word, readingcompanion.org, you can send us an email if your school would be interested in being a partner, and we'll follow up.
Okay, wonderful. So I'll put that link also. I'll put readingcompanion.org and also Try Science. And the World Community Grid is already up there, and you're doing such wonderful things. I read about this in a Fast Company magazine, and I said I have to have them on the show because, again, I'm interested in trying to help with health issues, but also I'm a bit of a geek. So, you know, the idea of like, wow, we got like 1.5 million, as Robin told me earlier, computers helping solve these problems from cancer to AIDS. And, you know, these issues are not going away. And as Robin said, you know, 4 years, you mentioned about one of the programs taking 4 years to get to the next level. But without all these computers, what's going to take, 25, 30 years, you know, to try to solve it? Even longer.
You know, you think that if we didn't have World Community Grid, our partners, our research partners tell us it would take them hundreds of years. And what they really tell us is, you know, if I didn't have access to this computational power, I wouldn't bother starting down this research. They wouldn't even, because it would just take too long. So we're opening up, we're opening up whole new avenues of research. And when you're talking about something like AIDS or cancer, we need to try every single avenue. You don't want somebody saying, well, I just didn't have a supercomputer, so I couldn't do the research. Well, World Community Grid gives you a virtual supercomputer, and now they can do the research.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I think we're going to have to try to connect with David another time, but you were just a wealth of information. And again, if you're listening this morning, I was speaking with Robin Wilner. She's IBM's Vice President of Global Community Initiatives. We were discussing the World Community Grid, and their web address is worldcommunitygrid.org. They're using millions of computers around the globe to try to help solve health issues, environmental issues, food issues. As you mentioned, there's a rice program they're working on. Clean energy, cancer, muscular dystrophy. If you're a scientist, you can submit a proposal. Maybe you need this power to help with your calculations. Please go to worldcommunitygrid.org to try to help in this mission. Thank you so much, Robin, for coming on this morning.
Joy, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
You too. Take care.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm going to have a wonderful second half this morning with a wonderful singer, songwriter, bassist. She was born Michelle Johnson, but now her name is Michelle Indigay Ocello. And she is a rockin' superstar. You need to stay tuned for the 11:30 to 12 show. I'm going to be playing some songs from her new album, Devil's Halo. Also tune in next Saturday. I'm going to be speaking with singer Diane Reeves, awesome, amazing jazz singer. I saw her in concert here at TOA, and I had taken my daughter when she was a little kid, and I just really love her music. So stay tuned next week. And also next week, I'm going to be talking about a very sensitive issue, human trafficking. A lot of times you think about human trafficking only happening in maybe the Asian countries or somewhere in Africa or South America. Well, let me tell you, human trafficking is happening here in the United States. So we're going to be talking about the national issue, but also the global issue of human trafficking. And I have some wonderful guests coming in next week. So stay tuned, and you can look at the website to see who the guests are. But right now, I just want to say thank you for listening to this first half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, on Blog Talk Radio, I want to let you know that you can leave comments for me there. You can email me at saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Again, you can email me at saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Suggestions, comments, concerns, people you would like me to interview, please send me an email, and I will definitely touch base with you again. But stay tuned for the second half at 11:30 with Michelle Indigay Ocello, and I'm going to be playing some songs from her new album, Devil's Halo. Have a wonderful Saturday.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.